Blog Talk Radio. Tragedies happen. We need family reunions again. we need to go back, as they say, to the old ways where families got together, families lived together. You know, now it's unheard of for families to live together. Folks look at you crazy. When in our old days, families lived together. And it was all right. Because when you combine your resources, you have more. And you can do more. And you can build more. And you can expand. We are so busy chasing after everything, chasing after God. On Sundays, we chase after the football game. We look at, gotta wash my car. This is my day. I'm sleeping in. There's that book. Let me just read my book today, and it's not the Bible. You know, all these things we let. Oh, let me catch up on, you know, and or let me catch up on this show or that show, that we forget to catch up on God. We need Jesus, and we need him now. As the song says, if we ever needed the Lord before, we sure do need him now. We need him every day and every hour. And the word that God gave me this morning, again, is coming out of Lamentations. And the complete word is this in Lamentations 40. And we'll read it again, but I just felt reading it now. Let us search out and examine our ways. Are your ways like God? Or are your ways like the world? Do you have chaos and confusion? Or do you have peace and joy? And then it says, and turn back to the Lord. Let us lift our hearts and hands to God in heaven. We have transgressed and rebelled, and you have not pardoned. As we know in our book of Lamentations, Israel and Judah have gone into captivity because of being hard-headed and stiff-necked and not wanting to listen to the prophet who told them what was going to happen. That told them, you're going into captivity. He warned them for 40 years. If they didn't change, if they didn't get better, they were going to go into captivity. They put him in jail. Got slapped, beat down, treated like he was a junkyard dog because he was telling the truth. But the prophet liar, they the best, they the this, they the that. We love them. We're not going into captivity. We're going to do whatever we want to do. It's all good because the prophet liar told us so. And if we look around, the same thing is happening in our world today. We have those that are lying, bald-faced lying. Have people so confused that they would rather believe a lie than to believe the truth. They'd rather trust in kind men and kind women than trust in folks that are honest and true. Liars instead of truth tellers. All confused and would fight you and kill you over politics, over stuff. Will lose their soul over politics. You think that through. You have gotten so confused by the enemy that you are willing to kill for a political party. And you claim to love God and that you are a Christian. God sees everything. He knows our hearts. And right now, there's a whole lot of hearts that need to be cleansed. Because I'm sorry no politics killing somebody over. Because if I got to kill you over it, then I am in the wrong. And whatever it is I'm believing is not from God. Because God is not about that kind of business. God is about us. But I'm going to tell you, he will beat you behind. And he will chastise you. And he will get your attention. And God is going to have to get the attention of a whole lot of folks. And when he does, don't get mad. Get on your knees and repent. Because we have allowed people to become our God, which is idolatrous. There's only one God, and that's who we should be serving. And I understand that folks are going all over the place, but we got to trust God and believe and know that there is only one God, and he's in charge of everything. Join me this morning in the Book of Lamentations, chapter 3 through chapter 5. We will be finishing Lamentations today. And if time permits, we will be going into the book of Ezekiel. And we'll see what happens. So let's get started, family. And the word of God says, I am the man who has seen affliction, Jeremiah speaks. By the rod of his wrath, he has led me and made me walk in darkness and not in light. Surely he has turned his hand against me time and time again throughout the day. He has aged my flesh and my skin and broken my bones, and he has besieged me and surrounded me with bitterness and woe. He has set me in dark places like the dead of long ago. Remember, beaten up, thrown in the muck and the mire. Well, not dead, just treated like that, because he was telling what God said. He has had me in so that I cannot get out. He has made my chain heavy. Even when I cry and shout, he shuts out my prayer. He has blocked my ways with a home stone. He has made my paths crooked. He has been to me a bear lying in wait, like a lion in ambush. He has turned aside my ways and torn me in pieces. He has made me desolate. He has bitten his bow. He has set me up as a target for the arrow. He has caused the arrow of his quiver to pierce my loins. I have become the ridicule of all my people. Their taunting songs all the day. He has filled me with bitterness. He has made me drink wormwood. He has also broken my teeth, covered me with ashes. You have moved my soul far from thee. I have forgotten prosperity, and I said my strength and my hope have perished from the Lord. Remember my affliction and wrongness, the wormwood and the gall. My soul still remembers and sinks within me. This I recall to my mind. Therefore, I have hope. Woo! You're reading all this, and you're like, wow, he all messed up. And then he hits you with the zinger. Then I recall to my mind. Therefore, I have hope. Through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed, because his compassion fail not. They are new every morning. Every day I tell God I'm thankful, I'm grateful, and I'm blessed that he gave me a do-over, that he gave me a new day, that he is allowing me to do what I do for him. Hallelujah. Thank you, God, for giving me the breath of life. Hallelujah. Jeremiah tells us, through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed, because his compassion fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I hope in him. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him. It is good that one should hope and wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. It is good for a man to bear the yoke in his youth. Let him sit alone and keep silent because God has laid it on him. Let him put his mouth in the dust. There may yet be hope. Let him give his cheek to the one who strikes him and to be full of reproach. For the Lord will not cast off forever. Though he causes grief, yet he will show compassion according to the multitude of his mercy. For he does not afflict willingly, nor grieve the children of men, to crush under one's feet all the prisoners of the earth, to turn aside the justice due a man. Before the face of the Most High, or subvert a man in his cause, the Lord does not approve. Come on now. Who is he who speaks and it comes to pass? When the Lord has not commanded it, it is not from the mouth of the Most High that woe and well-being proceed. Why should a little man complain, a man for the punishment of his sins? Come on. Let us search out and examine our ways. Our word comes from this. And turn back to the Lord. Let us lift our hearts and hands to God in heaven. We have transgressed and rebelled. You have not pardoned. You have covered yourself with anger and pursued us. You have slain and not pitied. You have covered yourself with a cloud that prayer should not pass through. You have made origin and refuge in the midst of the people. All our enemies have opened their mouths against us. Fear and snare have come upon us, desolation and destruction. My eyes overflow with rivers of water for the destruction of the daughter of my people. My eyes flow and do not cease without interruption till the Lord from heaven looks down and sees. My eyes bring suffering to my soul because of all the daughters of my city. You know, we call Jeremiah the weeping prophet. He's crying because he sees all the stuff that's happening. And the thing is, he knew it could have been avoided if God's people would have changed their ways. And it broke his heart. It broke him down that I tell you the truth, but you choose to listen to liars and false teachers. You choose to listen to those who tell you what is not of God. You choose heartache instead of choosing the joy of the Lord. And it broke him down. He didn't cry just to be a weeping prophet. He cried because he felt things. He felt the suffering of his people. And he knew what was coming and the fact that they did not want to listen. My enemies without cause hunted me down like a bird. They silenced my life in the pit and threw stones at me. The waters flowed over my head, and I said, I am cut off. I called on the name of, oh, Lord, from the lowest pit. You have heard my voice. Do not hide your ear from my sign, from my cry for help. You drew near on the day I called on you and said, do not fear. Oh, Lord, you have pledged the cause for my soul. You have redeemed my life. Oh, Lord, you have seen how I am wrong. Judge my case. You have seen all their vengeance, all their schemes against me. You have heard their reproach, oh, Lord, all their schemes against me. The lips of my enemies and their whispering against me all the day. Look at their sitting down and their rising up. I am their taunting song. Repay them, O Lord, according to the work of their hands. Give them a veiled heart. Your curse be upon them. In your anger, pursue and destroy them from under the heavens of the Lord. He's like, I'm just going to say what I feel. He went through a lot. And as we go back into, again, what the Bible says, life lessons, those come from Dr. Charles Stanley, for we are in the Charles S. Stanley Life Principles Daily Bible, biblical principles for each day of the year. And as I say, get this Bible if you can. It is a great word of meditation. It is a great word to meditate and study. because it opens your eyes to the Word of God. And so I thank Dr. Stanley for this awesome Bible. And I'm coming out of King James Version because I like King James. I'm just going to call it like it is. I do read King James, but I am partial to New King James. And this is what Dr. Stanley tells us, God's limitations on adversity. And we know many are going through right now with gas prices being sky high. But I just want to say this. Remember why the gas prices are sky high. You know, don't blame the president for sky high gas prices, because the president is not in the corporate office of these companies. He is the president of the United States, and he can only do so much. And he has given us gas from the reserve to try to bring the price down. And what happens? Because my governor has even stopped the gas taxes, and gas prices are still high. Why? Greed. Call it like it is. Greed is what causes gas prices to be high. Not the government, not the president, not your governors, but greed in the corporate offices. That's what causes prices to be high. Get the facts. Companies have gone sky high. CEO salaries have billions of dollars where people are suffering. Call it like it is. And what did the Word of God tell us? The love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. And we're seeing it in gas prices. We're seeing it in food. We're seeing it in folks taking everything off the shelf for themselves and not leaving even a roll of toilet paper for somebody else. You know, greed. We got to quit being greedy. We got to start loving and trusting God. Because, again, if we don't change our ways, God will change them for us. And it says this, the Lord uses adversity in the life of the believer for many purposes, all of them ultimately good. He limits adversity in the life of the believer and provides a way of escape. But none of these statements can be made on behalf of the unbeliever. The unbeliever stands before God in a position of estrangement and alienation. While God loves unbelievers and wants them to come to repentance, they also are subject to harsh treatment if they injure God's children or attempt to interfere with God's plans. You better hear. The fear of God was on all the kingdoms of those countries when they heard that the Lord had fought against the enemies of Israel. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 29. Time and again in Scripture, we read that God showed no mercy to his enemies. He defeated them soundly and decisively. And often he commanded Israelites to utterly destroy their enemies. Enemies of God sit in a very precarious position. Not only are unsaved persons spiritually lost, but they remain in danger physically, emotionally, and mentally. Satan has total access to an unbeliever, limited only by the prayers of God's faithful people. God responds to the unsaved person according to the person's willful sin and acts of transgression. The Lord does not sit on his throne, survey the world, and take pot shots at people. God is not a bully. Rather, the Lord moves decisively against sin. God is just and righteous. He must judge and oppose sin. That is the message of the book of Lamentations. When Jeremiah concludes that the children does not willfully afflict, that the Lord does not willfully afflict on the children of men. The Lord does not desire adversity for his people. Rather, he responds appropriately to their actions. When we sin, he responds to our sin even as he loves us beyond measure. Fortunately, the dark moments of our lives will last only as long as necessary for God to accomplish his purpose. If you're going through, ask why. Ask God why, Lord, and he will tell you, because you were disobedient. You did not do what I told you to do. You're going through because you chose to do this instead of waiting on me. Come on now. Lamentations 3:25, the Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him. Waiting upon God isn't passive. We don't sit with folded hands and smiling faces. Instead, we inquire. We take preliminary steps. We pray. We obtain counsel. We ask, seek, and knock in a prudent fashion. Do you know the Lord as trustworthy, reliable, consistent, or do you question whether God will be there for you in your hour of need? From cover to cover, the Bible proclaims God is there. He cares. He never abandons us. Therefore, seek and praise him as you wait. Hallelujah. Lamentations 3, chapter, verses 31 through 32. The Lord will not cast off forever. Though he causes grief, yet he will show compassion. The Lord sometimes brings afflictions into our lives, not to make us squirm, but to shape and mold us increasingly into the image of his Son. Adversity is a bridge to a deeper relationship with God. And I can say that is the truth. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Chapter 4 of Lamentations. How the gold has become dim. How changed the fine gold. The stones of the sanctuary are scattered at the head of every street. The precious stones of Zion, valuable as fine gold. How they are regarded as clay pots. The work of the hands of the potter. Even the jackals resent their breath to nurse their young. But the daughters of my people, it's cruel, like in the wilderness. The tongue of the infant clings to the roof of its mouth for thirst. The young children ask for bread, but no one breaks it for them. Those who ate delicacies are desolate in the streets. Those who were brought up in scarlet embrace ashes. The punishment of the iniquity of the daughter of my people is greater than the punishment of the sin of Sodom, which was overthrown in a moment with no hand to help her. Her Nazarites were brighter than no, and whiter than milk. They were more ruddy in body than rubies, like sapphire in their appearance. Now their appearance is blacker than soot. They go unrecognized in the street. Their skin clings to their bones. It has become as dry as wood. Those slain by the sword are better off than those who die of hunger. But these pine away, stricken for lack of the fruits of the field. The hands of the compassionate women have cooked their own children among them. They became food for them in the destruction of the daughter of my people, resorted to cannibalism among y'all. The Lord has fulfilled his fury. He has poured out his fierce anger. He kindled a fire in Zion, and it has devoured its foundations. The kings of the earth and all inhabitants of the world would not have believed that the adversity ended of Jerusalem because of the sins of their prophets and the iniquities of her priests who shed in her midst the blood of the just. They wandered blind in the streets. They have defiled themselves with blood so that no one could touch their garments. They cried out to them, go away, unclean, go away, go away. Do not touch us. Then they fled and wandered. Those among the nations said, they shall no longer dwell here. The face of the Lord scattered them. He no longer regards them. The people do not respect the priests nor show favor to the elders. Still our eyes failed us, watching vainly for our help. In our watching, we watched for a nation that could not save us. They tracked our steps so that we could not walk in our streets. Our end was near. Our days were over, for our end had come. Our pursuers were swifter than the eagles of the heavens. They pursued us on the mountains and lay in wait for us in the wilderness. The breath of our nostrils, the anointed of the Lord, was caught in the pits of whom we said, under his shadow we shall live among the nations. Rejoice and be glad, O daughter of Edom, you who dwell in the land of Uz. The cup shall also pass over to you, and you shall become drunk and make yourself naked. The punishment of your iniquity is accomplished, O daughter of Zion. We will no longer send you into captivity. He will punish your iniquity, O daughter of Edom. He will uncover your sins. Chapter 5 of Lamentations. Remember, O Lord, what has come upon us. Look and behold our reproach. Our inheritance has been turned over to aliens and our houses to foreigners. We have become orphans and wars. Our mothers are like widows. We pay for the water we drink, and our wood comes at a price. They pursue our at our heels. We labor and have no rest. We have given our hand to the Egyptians and the Assyrians to be satisfied with bread. Our fathers sinned and are no more, but we bear their iniquities. Servants rule over us. There is none to deliver us from their hands. We have our bread at the risk of our lives because of the sword in the wilderness. Our skin is hot as an oven because of the fever of famine. They ravage the women in Zion, the maidens in the cities of Judah. Princes were hung up by their hands, and elders were not respected. Young men ground at the millstones, boys under loads of wood. The elders have ceased gathering at the gate, and the young men from their music. The joy of our heart has ceased. Our dance has turned into mourning. The crown has fallen from our head. Woe to us, for we have sinned. Because of this, our heart is faint. Because of these things, our eyes grow dim. Because of Mount Zion, which is desolate, with foxes walking about on it. You, O Lord, remain forever. Your throne from generation to generation. Why do you forget us forever and forsake us for so long a time? Turn us back to you, O Lord, and we will be restored. Renew our days as of old, unless you have utterly rejected us and are very angry with us. Lamentations 5 and 9. You, O Lord, remain forever, your throne from generation to generation. We live in a time of enormous and rapid change, and yet God remains exactly the same today as he was in the days of Jeremiah. The changes do not surprise him, nor do they impress him. Praise him today. And that conclusion of Lamentations. And we are going into a new book. Yay! Old Testament new book. Today and Black. Yay! We are going into Ezekiel. And all I can say is, woo, Ezekiel is different. It's pretty awesome, actually. It makes you think outside the box. And the author of this book is Ezekiel, and he was a priest. It was written approximately 590 to 570 B.C. Though Israel is in exile, the nation will be restored. The details of Ezekiel. Ezekiel, an exiled Jew in Babylon, becomes God's spokesman to fellow exiles. He shares unusual, even bizarre, visions with the people, reminding them of the sin that led to their captivity, but also offering hope of national restoration. A quotable from Ezekiel. I have no pleasure in the death of him that dieth, says the Lord God. Therefore, turn yourselves and live ye. Ezekiel 18 and 32. Unique and unusual about Ezekiel. Ezekiel's vision of a valley of dry bones is one of the Bible's strangest images. I prophesied as I was commanded. There was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together. The skin and the flesh came up upon them, and the skin covered them above. And the breath came into them, and they lived and stood up upon their feet, an exceeding great army. We'll get to that in Ezekiel chapter 37, the valley of the dry bones. Let's keep it going. So what Ezekiel strongly teaches, personal responsibility. The soul that sinneth is shall die. But if a man be just and do that which is lawful and right, he shall surely live. Ezekiel 18, verses 4 through 5 and 9. So let's get into Ezekiel. Says in Ezekiel chapter 1. Now it came to pass in the 13th year, in the fourth month, on the fifth day of the month, as I was among the captives by the river Chebar, that the heavens were open, and I saw visions of God. On the fifth day of the month, which was in the fifth year of King Jehoiakim's captivity, the word of the Lord came especially to Ezekiel the priest, the son of Uzi, in the land of the Chaldeans by the river Kibar, and that the hand of the Lord was upon him there. Then I looked, and behold, a whirlwind was coming out of the north. A great cloud with raging fire engulfing itself, and brightness was all around it, and radiating out of its midst like the color of amber, out of the midst of the fire, and also within it came the likeness of four living creatures. And this was their appearance. They had the likeness of a man. Each one had four wings. The legs were straight, and the soles of their feet were like the soles of calves' feet. They sparkled like the color of burnished bronze. The hands of a man were under their wings on their four sides, and each of the four had faces and wings. Their wings touched one another. The creatures did not turn when they went, but each one went straight forward. As for the likeness of the faces, each had the face of a man. Each of the four had the face of a lion. On the right side, each of the four had the face of an ox on the left side, and each of the four had the face of an eagle. Thus were their faces, their wings stretched upward. Two wings of each one touched one another, and two covered their body, and each one went straight forward. They went forever. They went wherever the spirit wanted to go, and they did not turn when they went. As for the likeness of the living creatures, their appearance was like burning coals of fire, like the appearance of torches going back and forth among the living creatures. The fire was bright, and out of the fire went lightning, and the living creatures ran back and forth in appearance like flash of lightning. Now, as I looked at the living creatures, behold, a wheel was on the earth beside each living creature with its four faces. The appearance of the wheels and the workings was like the color of rail, and all four had the same likeness of their workings was as it were a wheel in the middle of a wheel. When they moved, they went toward any one of four directions. They did not turn aside when they went. As for their rims, they were so high, they were awesome, and their rims were full of eyes all around the four of them. When the living creatures went, the wheels went beside them. And when the living creatures were lifted up from the earth, the wheels were lifted up. Wherever the spirit wanted to go, they went, because there the spirit went, and the wheels were lifted together with them. But the spirit of the living creatures was in the wheels. When those went, these went. When those stood, these stood. When those were lifted up from the earth, the wheels were lifted up together with them. But the spirit of the living creatures was in the wheels. The likeness of the firmament above the heads of the living creatures was like the color of an awesome crystal stretched out over their heads. And under the firmament, their wings spread out straight, one toward another. Each one had two which covered one side, and each one had two which covered the other side of the body. When they went, I heard the noise of their wings, like the noise of many waters, like the voice of the Almighty Atonement, like the noise of an army. And when they stood still, they let down their wings. A voice came from above the firmament that was over their heads. Whenever they stood, they let down their wings. And above the firmament over their heads was the likeness of a throne, in appearance like a sapphire stone. On the likeness of the throne was a likeness which the appearance of man high above. Whew, I gotta read that again. And above the firmament over their heads was the likeness of a throne, in appearance like a sapphire stone. On the likeness of the throne was a likeness with the appearance of a man high above it. Also above, also from the appearance of his waist and upward, I saw as it were the color of amber, with the appearance of fire all around within it. And from the appearance of its waist and downward, I thought it was the appearance of fire with brightness all around, like the appearance of a rainbow in a cloud. Who, Jesus? On a rainy day, so it was the appearance of the brightness all around. This was the appearance of the lightness of the glory of the Lord. On yesterday, I was with my godmother. And we just happened to look up into the clouds and understand. Yesterday was not a rainy day. It was just a normal, beautiful, sunny, beautiful day. And up in the clouds were crosses, all across the sky, this cross. And right in the middle of where the sun and one of the crosses joined was a rainbow. It wasn't a full rainbow. It was just the colors of the rainbow just up in the clouds. And it was so beautiful and overwhelming. And I will post pictures on my Twitter and on my Facebook. So those that join me through the Twitter and Facebook will see the clouds from yesterday. Unusual and different. And I can say God is on his throne. All we have to do is look up. And he said to me, Son of Man, chapter 2 of Ezekiel. Son of Man, stand on your feet, and I will speak to you. Then the Spirit entered me, and when he spoke to me and set me on my feet, and I heard him, who spoke to me, and he said to me, Son of Man, I am sending you to the children of Israel, to the rebellious nation that has rebelled against me. They and their fathers have transgressed against me to this very day, but they are impotent and stubborn children. I am sending you to them, and you shall say to them, Thus says the Lord God, as for them, whether they hear or whether they refuse, for they are a rebellious house, yet they will know that a prophet has been among them. And you, Son of Man, do not be afraid of them, nor be afraid of their words. Though briars and thorns are with you, and you dwell among the scorpions, do not be afraid of their words made by their lips. Though they are a rebellious house, you shall speak my words to them, whether they hear or whether they refuse, but they are rebellious. But you, Son of Man, hear what I say to you. Do not be rebellious like that rebellious house. Open your mouth and eat what I give you. And when I looked, there was a hand stretched out to me, and behold, a scroll of a book was in it. Then he spread it before me, and there was writing on the inside and on the outside, and written on it were lamentations and mourning and woe. And some life lessons from chapter 1 to chapter 2 of Ezekiel. Ezekiel 1:1, I saw a vision. I saw visions of God. Ezekiel did not choose to see visions of God. God took the initiative. Prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Second Peter chapter 1, verse 21. And I'm going to read that again. Prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Prophecy is not a gift that you want, because you will see crazy stuff. What do you think of this in Ezekiel? Wheels in the middle of the wheels, spoke with both faces and wings and calves, hoof, feet. Come on now. Dry bones coming back together. We call them zombies now. But back then, it was a valley of dry bones. We better understand. Prophets see some stuff. And they have moments because they feel. And an empathic prophet will feel everything. Because they will see stuff and they will feel stuff. And it overwhelms them. Ezekiel chapter 1, verse 28. This was the appearance of the lightness of the glory of the Lord, possible to fully describe the splendor that is God. The best Ezekiel can do is say, it looks something like an expression of something else. God's glory is radically different from everything in the universe. Ezekiel 2:2, the spirit enemy when he spoke to me and set me on my feet. God never gives us a command that he does not also give us the ability to fulfill. He never calls us to task to a task without also enabling us to complete it. God makes possible what he commands. Yes, glory. Ezekiel 2:6, do not be afraid of them, nor be afraid of their words. God sent Ezekiel to speak to a nation he called rebellious and impotent and stubborn and hard-hearted. Not an easy task, but since God would be with Ezekiel, the prophet did not have to fear, and neither do we. We got to speak the word of God. What does God say in his word? Ezekiel 3. And we will go to 4 if time permits. And it says, moreover, he said to me, son of man, eat what you find. Eat this scroll and go. Speak to the house of Israel. So I opened my mouth, and he caused me to eat that scroll. And he said to me, son of man, feed your belly and fill your stomach with this scroll that I give you. So I ate, and it was in my mouth like honey and sweetness. Then he said to me, son of man, go to the house of Israel and speak my words to them, for you are not sent to a people of unfamiliar speech and of hard language, but to the house of Israel, not many people of unfamiliar speech and a hard language whose words you cannot understand. Surely, had I sent you to them, they would have listened to you. The house of Israel will not listen to you because they will not listen to me. For all the house of Israel are impudent and hard-hearted. Behold, I have made your face strong against their face and your forehead strong against their forehead, like an adamant stone. Harder, I have made your forehead. Do not be afraid of them. Not be dismayed at their looks, though they are rebellious out. Moreover, he said to me, son of man, receive into your heart all my words that I speak to you and hear with your ears, and go get to the captives, to the children of your people, and speak to them and tell them, thus says the Lord God, whether they hear or whether they refuse. Then the Spirit lifted me up, and I heard behind me a great thunderous voice. Blessed is the glory of the Lord for his place. I also heard the noise of the wings of the living creatures that touch one another, and the noise of the wheels beside them, and a great thunderous noise. For the Spirit lifted me up and took me away, and I went in bitterness in the heat of my spirit. But the hand of the Lord was strong upon me. Then I came to the captives at Tel Abib, who dwelt by the river Kabar. And I astonished 7 days. At the end of 7 days, that the word of the Lord came to me, saying, son of man, I have made you a watchman for the house of Israel. Therefore, your word from me, from my mouth, and give them warning from me. When I say to the wicked, you shall surely die, and you give him no warning, nor seek to warn the wicked from his wicked ways to save his life, that same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood I will require of your hand. Yet if you warn the wicked, and he does not turn from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but you have delivered your soul. Again, when a righteous man turns from his righteousness and commits iniquity, and I lay a stumbling block before him, he shall die, because you did not give him warning. Excuse me. He shall die in his sin, and his righteousness which he has done shall not be remembered. But his power will require at your hand. Nevertheless, if you warn the righteous man that the righteous should not sin, and he does not sin, he shall surely live, because he took warning. Also, you will have delivered your soul. Then the hand of the Lord was upon me there, and he said to me, arise, go out plain, and there I shall talk with you. So I arose and went out into the plain, and behold, the glory of the Lord stood there like the glory which I saw by the river Kabar, and I fell on my face. Then the spirit entered me and set me on my feet and spoke to me and said to me, go, shut yourself inside your house. And you, O son of man, surely they will put ropes on you and bind you with them so that you cannot go out among them. I will make your tongue cling to the roof of your mouth so that you shall be mute and not be one to rebuke them. For they are a rebellious house. But when I speak with you, I will open your mouth and you shall say to them, thus says the Lord God. He who hears, let him hear. And he who refuses, let him refuse. For they are a rebellious house. Chapter 4. You also, son of man, take a clay tablet and lay it before you and portray on it a siege Jerusalem. Lay siege against it. Build a siege wall against it and heap up a mound against it. Set camps against it. Also place battering rams against it all around. Iron wall between you and the city. Set your face against it. And it shall be besieged, and you shall lay siege against it. This will be a sign to the house of Israel. Lie also on your left side, and lay the iniquity of the house of Israel upon it. According to the number of the days that you lie on it, you shall bear their iniquity. For I have laid on you the years of their iniquity according to the number of the days, 390 days. So you shall bear the iniquity of the house of Israel. And when you have completed them, lie again on your right side, and you shall bear the iniquity of the house of Judah. 40 days I have laid on you a day for each year. Therefore you shall set your face toward the siege of Jerusalem. Your arms shall be uncovered, and you shall prophesy against it. And surely I will restrain you so that you cannot turn from one side to another till you have ended the days of your siege. Also, take for yourself wheat, barley, beans, lentil, millet, and split. Put them into one vessel and make bread of them for yourself. During the number of days that you lie on your side, 390 days you shall eat it. And your food which you eat shall be by weight, 20 shekels a day. From time to time you shall eat it. You shall also drink water by measure, 1/6 of a hin. From time to time you shall drink. And you shall eat it as barley cakes and bake it using fuel of human waste in your sight. Then the Lord said, so shall the children of Israel eat their defiled bread among the Gentiles, where I will drive them. So I said, ah, Lord God, indeed I have never defiled myself from my youth till now. I have never eaten what dries of itself or was torn by beasts, nor has abominable flesh ever come into my mouth. Then he said to me, see, I am giving you cow dung instead of human waste, and you shall prepare your bread over it. Moreover, he said to me, son of man, surely I will cut off the supply of bread to Jerusalem. They shall eat bread by weight and with anxiety, and shall drink water by measure and with dread, that they may lack bread and water and be dismayed with one another and waste away because of their iniquity. Life lessons from Ezekiel chapter 3 and chapter 4. Ezekiel 3 and 10, receive into your heart all my words that I speak to you and hear with your ears. Listen to God is essential to walking with God. Listening requires not only straining to hear his voice, but taking his words so seriously that they set up shop in the deepest place of our hearts. God lets us choose whether we will open our ears to listen or whether we will refuse to hear. Jesus often said, he who hears to hear, has ears to hear, let him hear. Mark 4:9. We get what we choose. Come on now. Ezekiel 4:1. Take a clay tablet, lay it before you, and portray on it a city, Jerusalem. Ezekiel was to publicly lay siege to his model city, to dramatize the coming siege against the real Jerusalem. God uses a wide variety of ways to try to help us understand his word. I thank God this morning for the reading and for the hearing of his word. Take what has been spoken today. Take it to heart. because God is giving us warning as he gave the children of Israel. We must be diligent. We must be reflective, and we must understand that the Lord God is in charge, and we need to lift up our heads, lift up our eyes. We got to look up, and we got to examine our ways and turn back to the Lord. Are you examining your ways today? Because I surely am, because the Lord has spoken to me just as he has spoken to you. And before we get out of here, a word from my sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn, this morning. And if time permits, we'll go to our prayer book and be able to have a prayer from it this morning as well. And a word from my sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn, for yesterday and today. Well, actually, it will be from yesterday. I haven't gotten today's word yet. And it says this, good morning. God does not treat us according to our sins like we do one another. He treats us based on the genuine love he has for us all. You know, God is watching everything we do, and we must trust him that he's not going to harm us. He's not going to hurt us, but he is going to get our attention. And the question is, how does he get your attention? Are you standing on the word of God, or are you just going on about your business, doing whatever you feel is right in your own eyes, but not necessarily right in the eyes of God? We got to examine ourselves, family, and turn back to the Lord. If you don't know Jesus, today is a good day to get to know him as your Lord and Savior. But you are not alone. The Lord God said, it is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him. Genesis chapter 2, verse 18, NIV. Creator, you were so full of intentions in everything you formed. You took your time in creativity, making everything from the sun to the fish in the sea. Your breath brought flesh and bones to life, making a man in your image. You knew that isolation wasn't the way. Relationship would always be the context for the meaning of life. Thank you for setting us in connection with each other and with you from the start. Heal the broken mindsets of your people that say that isolation and independence are preferable. Your way is not easy, but it's always the better way. Help me to choose the way of love that lays down its own inclinations in favor of the power only experienced in connection with others. I want to choose to show up, not just physically, but emotionally as well. Putting to death the idea that my attention doesn't matter. Give me perspective when I need it. You always know what you're doing, and I submit to you. And the question for today is, do you depend on yourself more than others? And on Sunday, we'll come back in our New Testament word in Psalm and Proverbs, and we'll have prayer for today, for tomorrow, and for Sunday. So thank you so much, family, for listening, and I pray as always, may the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent one from each other. In Jesus' name, I pray over you and yours, and just again, all of us, me included, let us examine our ways and turn back to the Lord. If you have forgotten our Father God, today is a good day to remind yourself of who and what he is. Thank you so much, family. Have a blessed and wonderful Friday. Have a great and wonderful weekend. Join me again on Sunday, 7 a.m. Central Standard Time. And remember to turn your clock back. Daylight saving time ends on Sunday morning. Thank you so much. Be blessed. It is, as we say on Moving Forward, it is a wrap. Because why? I got to go to work. Love you all. Be blessed. It's a wrap.